Church family, how are you today? It was very hot yesterday. Perhaps have a quick chat to the person next to you just about what you did yesterday on a very hot day. Finding the book of James going okay? I trust it's going okay. That's good. All right. I'm going to pray and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for James, that you speak in the book of James to your people. And we pray that you will help us to understand your passage, your word today, that we can take something home and apply it in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And so, what two things go together? Even who? Perhaps who? Two things, two people or two things. Let me read you some perfect pairs. Salt and pepper. Fish and chips, chopsticks, milk and tea, copy and paste, shampoo and conditioner, Ben and Jerry, Brian and Belinda, soy sauce and sushi, Tim and Tam, the French and fries. As examples, can you think of who or what things go together? The perfect pairs. When I was in Canada a few years ago, I remember cheesy chips and gravy, they went together. Ice and hockey, they went together. We enter James, and what we see is that our faith and deeds go together. Like planes and wings, they go together. Well, let's go to the airport. Let's walk around the terminal. Just imagine your mind walking around the terminal. Grab a coffee, grab a hot chocolate, maybe not so hot, maybe a cool chocolate drink. Grab a seat. Have a look out the large windows. What do you see? You see aircraft on the runway. Show me, you're sitting next to me, show me a plane without wings that can fly, and I'll show you a plane with wings that can fly. Now you say, that's obvious, but that's the point of this passage. It is obvious. Faith and deeds go together. As way of another picture, a Christmas cracker. It's only going to work if there are two ends to pull. The two ends, they go together. Faith and deeds go together. So, faith. What is that? It's what we believe. So, for example, the Apostle Creed. I believe in the Father, God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, His Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons, The Apostles' Creed, what we believe. Faith. Deeds. The difference that that faith makes in your life. The action you take as a result of that faith. Or what springs from that faith. Now, someone might say, wait on, I thought you were Christian by faith alone. I thought you're saved, right with God, by faith alone. And the answer to that is absolutely yes. We are Christian, we are saved, we are right with God, we are reconciled to God through faith in Jesus, what he's done, alone. But James in this book is not talking about what it takes to become a Christian. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about pre-salvation and how you were saved. He's not. He's talking about a faith that is genuine. He's talking to believers. He's talking about a faith that is genuine. A little bit like when you watch the news, we hope that the news is genuine. It's not fake. We want it to be genuine. There's so much fake news out there, we want it to be genuine. And so he's talking about a faith that is genuine and not fake. Okay, let's go to verse 14. And so you can see it here. It's going to be the bigger picture. So he says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, so Christians, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? They're kidding themselves. A little bit like a pilot. Someone who claims to be a pilot but's never flown a plane. Or someone who claims to be an astronaut who's never been to space. Or some bloke who claims to be married but he's never had a wife. Or let alone a girlfriend. He's kidding himself. And so we consider the context here of James. So the first audience, it appears that there were many in the congregation who were saying, yeah, we are believers. We keep the royal law, if you remember from last week. We keep the royal law. Love your neighbour as yourself. But James goes, wait on, you are discriminating against the poor. There are poor believers attending your church who are in need, who do not have food, who do not have clothing, who do not have shelter, and they say, and you are saying to them, go in peace, keep warm, well fed, but you're doing nothing about their physical needs. Now today we might say, go to Service New South Wales. Back then they said, go in peace. And so James has a brain explosion. Like, don't you know that faith and deeds, faith goes with deeds, they go together, otherwise it's dead. Your faith is fake. It is false. And so he says, to add to the previous verse that was read, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him or her? And the short answer is no. And the reason is, it's because it's a false faith. It's not really a faith. It's a fake faith. It's a pretend faith. And so all that is left is judgment. That's what he's talking about. And so it's not only James. Jesus said the same in Matthew chapter 7. Have a look here. He's talking to, in this context, he's talking about to his disciples, true and false prophets, or true and false voices in the church. And so he says this, and we can apply it right through. Likewise, every good tree, so that is someone with genuine faith, bears good fruit. So that his deeds as a result of the faith.
But a bad tree, so fake faith, bears no fruit. Okay, so they might do a lot of good in the world, but because they have no faith, it's fake. Anything that they do is not counted as deeds. So bad tree, no faith, bears bad fruit, not counted as deeds before God. A good tree, so someone with faith, cannot bear bad fruit. So you cannot say, I have faith in God. If you really have faith in God, you're going to have deeds. And a bad tree, so no faith, cannot bear good fruit. Again, you might do good in the world, but you're not doing good as a result of your faith in the church, because you do not have faith. And as it says in Romans, it's impossible to please God without faith. And then he says, Jesus says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So there's the judgment. That is all that is left. So Jesus says the very same. Faith and deeds go together. So let me ask you, how's it going? Faith and deeds. I believe that James, he wants his readers, whether back in his day or today, he wants us to think about that. He wants us to check ourselves, to not only say I have faith, but to make sure that in our context, we can also say that we have deeds, a genuine faith. That's what he wants. And so, verse 18. But then someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds, like they're a separate category. And that happens. Someone might say, well, you, congregationalists, you who've been to campus Bible study or credo or high school Bible study group, or you who've been to Moore College or Morling College, you love theology. You have your faith. But the Salvation Army, World Vision, they have their deeds. All good. Now, of course, there's a diversity in gifts. People have different abilities, different capabilities to be able to do what they do. But for James, it's very much together. You cannot separate them into two. So someone might say, what about nice Australians with good deeds? And there are plenty of nice Australians with good deeds. Who are unbelievers? You know, we think of family, friends, work colleagues, loaded with good deeds. Think of neighbours. Often we see social media platforms where they show videos about people doing good things. There's loads of Australians. In fact, Australia finishes fourth on the scale of 200 countries as the most generous individually. Corporation, but individually the most generous people on earth in terms of the percentage of our GDP, so how much we make as a country. We finished fourth most generous. So what about all those nice Australians with good deeds, and there's plenty of them? Well, the fact is, we need faith for the deeds to count before God. So we need faith and deeds. They spring together. And also, these in James are deeds to our fellow Christians. Deeds amongst Christians and to our fellow Christians. And that's going to answer the question about what these deeds are. Because often we read about deeds and we think about to strangers, to unbelievers. And yes, that is right. Yes, that is true. Yes, denominations should be supporting trouble around the world. Yes, we should be having our charitable arms. But James is actually not specifically talking about that. He's talking about deeds to fellow Christians, to fellow believers. In fact, the whole New Testament, the first concern of the Christian is your brothers and sisters. Look after first your brothers and sisters. And then as an extension of being a Christian, we branch out into the world around us. Okay? Because God had mercy on us when we were unbelievers, we have mercy and we try and help unbelievers. But here in James, and the bigger picture for the Christian, is our first point of call is the church, fellow brothers and sisters. Now, of course, like we live in a world, it's not going to like to hear that. But I mean, I think that is what the Bible teaches. Got to look after one another. So the deeds are the brothers and sisters, and it says that in verse 15 when he gives his example. You can read the whole of James in one sitting, you see that yourself. Brothers and sisters interacting with fellow Christians. And again, this really matters because there's a rising excuse, and maybe some of your friends, you've heard this excuse, the excuse of those who used to go to church or the dean church, you know, those who've lost faith in the church institution. They'll still say something like, I still believe in God. Still a good person. I still try and do the right thing by charity. And we say, I'm sure you are a great person. I'm sure you are doing more than most with charity. But how are you going to do deeds to your fellow Christians when you're not here? Faith and deed to fellow Christians, they go together. And so James gives four examples. The first one, and I'm going to give you the four, from verses 19 to 26. I'm going to give you a dark example. Okay, apologies in advance, but it's going to be dark. Okay, this is an example where it's not going to help fellow Christians. It's going to help a lot of people in the world, but not Christians. That's the dark example. And then I'm going to give you a couple of examples from the Old Testament. So this is all in James. Two examples, and then the fourth one is going to be a biological or a whole of body or example to show faith and deeds go together, faith to your fellow Christians. So let's go to the first one. Dark example. Verse 19. James says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that there is one God. Even the demons believe that there is one God, but you're never going to hear them singing in the church choir. Because they're adverse to Christians. They're against believers, obviously. They're anti-Christians. So they're not going to do any good. But then he also uses the word shudder, and I find that very interesting. I think it's a likely reference, and a lot of commentators say this, it's a likely reference to in the Gospels of when the demons trembled in the presence of Jesus. Shudder. But I also think it's a brotherly dig by James. He's almost like he's saying, like, these demons understand faith and deeds go together. But you blokes, he's saying to his audience, he's ready, you don't even understand that these things go together. They shudder, he says. Okay, so we'll move on from that. We'll go to a couple of great examples from the Old Testament. Firstly, Abraham, father of the faith, received the promises of God that led to Jesus Christ. Solid believer. We have songs about him. He's a bit of a legend. Abraham. Let's read verse 22. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Faith and deeds together. And so there's plenty of places we can read about it, but the big one is Genesis 22. In a nutshell, it's about Abraham and Isaac, but Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. But then he proved his faith was genuine by what he did when he offered Isaac to the Lord. Classic. But then there's the next one, Rahab. In the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute considered righteous? Faith for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. This one, I want to read the account in the Old Testament from Joshua 2. Have a look. Have a look at how she trusts, she believes in God, who he is, what he does, and then she has action. Have a look as we read through. It's 11 verses, so I'll just quickly read it through. Then Joshua, son of Nun. So basically the context is God's people Israel in the book of Joshua are about to enter the promised land, which was the land of Canaan. But there's a big obstacle in the way, and that is the city of Jericho. And so God's people are going to send two spies to survey the area around Jericho, who are in the way from them stepping into the promised land. And so they send in two spies. So then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim, who go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So when they went and entered the house of the prostitute named Rahab and stayed there, the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come out to spy out the whole land. But the woman who had taken the two men and hidden them, she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them, she said. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax. She had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord, so here's her, remember, Rahab, she's a prostitute, she's Gentile, but this is what she believes. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all of you who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did of Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is, it's like the Apostles' Creed, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. And so she had faith. She had deeds by what she did. So this is important. James is not simply saying she did a good thing by a couple of spies against some bad guys. What he's saying is she had faith, she did a couple of good things for God's people, for fellow believers, for Christians. And then James gives us another example he adds on. This is just biological, you know, body, hollow body, soul. He says, as the body without the spirit is dead. So I think in those days, ancient days, spirits was more like the whole body, in a sense, breath, spirit, soul, who you are. Once you lose that, you're dead. And then he ends with, so faith without deeds is dead, it's fake, it's false, it's done, it's over. So in this room, we are a church, we have faith, we have deeds, and our deeds affects fellow Christians. But we ask ourselves, and I think it's right, we should ask ourselves, what are these deeds specifically? What are these deeds that I should be doing that come from me, that are part of me, that are amongst me, and because of it's going to affect other people, to know that I have genuine faith. So I can check on myself. Well, I've got five. I've listed five. It's not perfect. It's an indication, but it is evidence that your faith is genuine. We'll go to the first one. We're going to end with five. Love Jesus. We need to demonstrate an active trust in Jesus, like leaning on Jesus. We read his word. We seek to obey Jesus. We seek to sin, turn from sin. Like, this is an action. Turn from sin, turn to Jesus. It's part of what it means to be a Christian. It's active. Christians persevering. You know, I've been a Christian a lot longer than a lot of you guys here. And I tell you, in recent years, the last 10 years, one thing that's really struck me about what is important to the Lord, it's a lesson that He has taught me, is the importance of perseverance. It's not so much I believe in the moment, but when you are under trial, when you are going through hardship, when you persevere, if you persevere, if you seek to keep going as a follower of Jesus, that is a deed. And of course, when you persevere, there is of course church participation. How we interact or how we relate to believers. You know, do we encourage? Do we look to pray for them? Do we look to help where help is required, needs? Do we look to serve, to love, to honour? Do we seek to do that? That's deeds. Deeds to our fellow Christians. That's the importance of gathering together as a church, spending time together. Even just a conversation with fellow Christians after the service here is a deed. And it's very important. And of course, attitude to apostles, their writings, such as Peter and Paul, and even early church leader James. Do we read the apostles? And do we say, well, this is Jesus' word to me, I must obey. I tell you, a lot of people in the church will say something like, I like Jesus, but I don't like Paul. Or, I don't like James, but I like Jesus. No, from my observation over many years, those who are genuine faith and deeds are those people who can read the book of James and say, this is Jesus' word for me, I must obey. And the last one is spiritual growth led by the Holy Spirit. God changes me, I bear fruit of the Holy Spirit. It makes a difference in my life. And so, Jesus, as our final inspiration, he trusted his Father while he was here on earth, ministry. He believed in his Father. He leaned on his brother. He prayed to his Father. He trusted. He came to do, John 6, he came to do his Father's will, not his own. But then he didn't just, he had action as well. You know, he volunteered. He went.